Well, I want to thank Brother Chris and Brother David for the opportunity that gave me tonight to be able to speak to you and share with you this message tonight. And I hope and pray that I know the Lord let it be a blessing, okay? So if you would, take your Bible and go with me to the book of Jude. That's the little book right before the book of Revelations. It's just one chapter long, little book, and stuff there nestled right before Revelations. While you're getting that found and getting it together to put your place, I want to give you just a brief testimony about where this message comes from. It kind of sets up to what I want to, the point and stuff that I want to be able to make tonight. But this message, I guess, came back with me a little over 20 years ago now. And it was a time in my life when my dad, things and circumstances in his life were such that he was having to move in with me. He was going to have to be moving in, and we were going to be living together. And I was an old bachelor. Lord hadn't placed dead in my life yet at that point, and I was getting, I guess, getting close to my late 30s, and I'd never done any housekeeping or cooking and stuff. I mean, fast food place loved me. I just made the business, you know, around there, and I never did any of that, and my dad didn't either, and now these two bachelor dudes were coming together, and my sister knew this. But she's 2 years older than me in St. Louis. So when the circumstances unfolded and she knew that he was coming in with me, she took a week off, flew in from St. Louis, came down with us, began to set house for us. Spent a week. She began to work us over. She took these little index cards like this, and she began to make recipes, step-by-step recipes, you know, spaghetti and meatballs and hamburger helpers, instructions to the meals, and all kinds of things along, what vegetables went better with this and that. They were just step-by-step instructions. And even some difficult meals like chicken fried steak. Boy, I made a mess of that one. But she did that, and she spent that week with us, getting us all set up, And I wish I'd kept it. I wish I had it, the little box that she put the recipes in and all that. I don't know what wound up to them. But that was a very kind thing, of course. But the Lord had greater mercy. He didn't know that me and Dad still. I mean, we did all right. I mean, really, we managed there for a few months. But then he put Deborah in my life. And he knew he needed something. Me and my dad, my dad so loved my dad, and he loved her. He placed her in my life, you know, and so. But what I want to do tonight, but this message came from that time frame in my life, and my sister doing that with me, and I want to give you a message that I've entitled "God's Recipe for a Christian's Life." Amen. God's recipe for a Christian's life, okay? And I think right here it's amazing to me. The Book of Jude, little bitty chapter, 25 verses, but nestled in there in one verse. Only our God could do this. One verse in a small little chapter, I believe he places a very simple and a very key recipe, a step-by-step recipe of how to live a Christian life. And so there's 4 points of this. What I want to do, I want to take the word life, and I want to make a word study out of it. I want to make it like an acrostic, I think you call it, where each letter, L-I-F-E, it becomes a formula to a word that's the recipe to this life, to life, Christian life, okay? So that's what I want to try to do. And so, if you will with me here, look in Jude, verse 21. It says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Now, what I want to show, the Son of the Lord when he gave me was this. The first letter in that word L, of course, is L. I mean, life is L. Okay, L. The first word I would put there for the recipe, if God was giving a recipe, would be the word love. But it may be a different love than what you're thinking. I'm not talking about God's love coming down to us. Because you see, the honest truth is, we can't affect that at all. Don't the Bible say in Romans 5:8, "But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us in our very worst condition"? You see, the very honest truth is, I can't help God to love me anymore. And I can't have him love me any less. I can't be so bad that he doesn't love me, and I can't be so great that he loves me any more than he does. I can't affect it. But I do have control over my love to him. You see, the love that I express and the love that I do to my God through Jesus, I have control over. And the honest truth is that does change day to day, event to event. The days I love you more, you know, there's days I depend on you more, there's days I don't. But it's a key recipe, God says, in a Christian's life, is to develop the love to God. You see, right, I told you my sister did that for my dad and me. That was our twin. Shortly, 6 months or so, shortly after that, Deborah came to my life. I just thought I knew what it was about to love somebody then. I had no clue. This past Wednesday, March the 11th, was 19 years of anniversary for me and Deborah. Amen. And you know, I love her so much more. I'm beginning to say a little bit of a stand of love. But it's been through valleys, and it's been through victories and stuff. It's been through ups and downs. But it's grown every day. It's blossomed, matured. That's what God wants for me and you in our Christian life. We get to practice down here what we're going to be doing for eternity. We want a practice field to say how we're going to worship and love our God. So you see how we develop, that's what the first recipe is, if he's writing it out here to us. L is love. Your love, my love to him. It says in just a moment ago, Proverbs 4, verse 23 says this. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, and then in Deuteronomy, it kind of really spells it out to us. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You know, it just sounds to me like I was in basketball and I didn't train. It sounds to me like that's a practice. That's a going on. That's a continual everyday thing. It's building our love to our God. So L in this recipe would be love. But then the next letter would be the letter I. If we had a recipe with following on this Christian life. And I believe the next two words of Jude gives me a key to this recipe, okay? It says, looking for. Looking for. I would put the word influence. Influence. What kind of influence do we place in our life? You know, what are we letting influence us? See, this recipe helps us with the first love. It helps us develop that love to God. But what influence that we do. Psalms 119:11, you know, says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Letting God's word influence in there. In 2 Peter 2, verse, 2? It says, you know, as newborn babies desire the sin-sealed milk of the word that you may grow thereby. See, that's just the recipe. He's saying, God, let God's word be the strength and development of our life, huh? And then I love 2 Timothy 2:15. You know, it tells us there about we need to be a workmanship. A workman need. Well, let me go to it here. I say these things again here, but study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, just talking about God's word being an influence, make it daily an influence to our life. My wife puts me in shame on this. I'm reading that Bible, her Bible, man. I got in more slacking than I should be. I know that reading it faithfully and doing it and stuff. And it is so true. That's such a recipe ingredient in our life, you know. And then part of that influence, I believe we need to be like Luke 18, verse 1. Jesus is speaking. He said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. The man ought always to pray. Prayer, you know, Bible reading and our prayer and our communication with our God. That's the recipe of a Christian life, just praying. I do this one a lot more. I mean, I do. I don't do it with my eyes closed. I'm driving the bus a lot down the road and stuff, and I don't close my eyes. I'm glad you don't have to close your eyes. But I do this prayer a lot. Praying and talking to God and just giving out your heart to him. And, of course, Hebrews 10, verse 25, it tells us there about this, like was said tonight about our church's meeting. It's not, you know, it's not canceled out. But 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We see in those days approaching. They're getting nutty. They're getting crazy, I know. And well, we need each other's strength, don't we? I always love it. He's not here tonight. But I always love when Brother Chris or Brother Dwayne, who it might be, they call him Brother Jeff to pray in some part of the service. I always love hearing him pray. And I always love, he gets down close to the end of the prayer and see how he's always saying, Lord, he's thanking for the people who counted it important to be here. Thank you for those that have counted it important in their life to be here. He always says that. And that's so true. We have that choice. That's right. You know, we don't have to be here. It's coronavirus, all whatever. So we have that choice, you know. And if we want that recipe of a Christian life to be what God wants it to be, we follow these steps, we need to be here. We need to be every time the door's open, you know, in God's house, where it might be. So that's the influence. L, in this recipe of would be love. I, influence, God's word, prayer, the church. And then F, the next part of Jude there, if you follow on after looking for, it says the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe F would stand for the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. You see, we're all going to need to be forgiven in our spirit. If we live long in this life at all, we're going to have reason to be hurt, upset, maybe even bitter about some things or something happens. And God says, if you're going to be a Christian life, you got to be forgiven. You got to forgive. I love how Jesus puts it in Ephesians 4, verse 32. He says there, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You know, he gives the example, but he says, well, to be forgiven, doesn't he? And I believe it's a key recipe. I've had the privilege down for the years, privilege to work in nursing homes down for many years. I preach at different nursing homes. They got to do the stuff. And like here at Satan 2, this one's special. But I used to think people got older in their years and they wound up in that situation in the nursing home and stuff. And that boy, that would maybe make them bitter and sad and lonely and put in a shell. But I couldn't realize that's not the case. Down for years, pretty nursing homes. You do find some bitter people in there, but it's not because of their situation of being there. They've practiced being bitter getting there. They've already been bitter getting to there. Because the sweetest, most kind, most loving, most settled in their heart people I've ever met have been in the nursing homes. And the reason is because they understood this forgiveness. They understood in their life that the forgiveness was important to get to that point, you know? And I love this story. I read this in a Sword of the Lord scrapbook years ago, like making this message, and I studied it. Now then, they got YouTube and the Google. I just now got the fancy phone. I'm barely, I just now got one that says, say Google, talk to it. And I looked up about this guy, because I read this story about him when I met him years ago. But there's a retired officer in the United States Air Force named Gail Seymour. He's 99 years old, still alive, living in Salt Lake City, Utah. He was born October the 10th, 1920. This guy, let me tell you a little brief story about him. I read about this guy. He grew up, right, of course, in the days, coming up before World War II. But he had a buddy of his, and they lived next to each other in the farm place. And they were best buddies, grew up just doing everything together. When the war had hit in Europe, they both went off together to enlist, to go into the Air Force for being pilots. Both of them exceeded vastly through all the training until each of them became a captain of a crew in a B-52 bomber. They each captained their own crew in a different plane, but they were stationed together, worked together. They'd been buddies all their life. They had flown over 20 missions together dropping the bombs missions and stuff into the war into Germany. They had done over 20 missions together. It was getting close to the end of the war. The last few months of the time of the war was going to soon be over. But they flew a mission this one night into Berlin, heavy, and the fire going up from the ground was thick and heavy, the story said. And in this mission, this one guy, Colonel Gale, he's piloting the plane over to the side. He sees his buddy's plane, and directly it's hit directly in the fuel position. and just completely blown out of the sky. I mean, they look for parachutes, but his buddy's plane is just blown out of the sky for the mission of everything coming up, and there's no sign of the parachutes. Every crew is lost on that plane. Well, like I said, shortly the war would end. And he's called in to a meeting with the leaders in the room, and his patrol leader, man, he's telling everybody, all the pilot captains, he said, hey, we got a special mission, but it's going to be a volunteer mission. Nobody's required to do it. We can't require anybody to do it. He said, but the war has been ended. The Germany signed surrender. But you know, Russia has invaded in the east side of Berlin, and they blocked it up, and they're starving all the people out. They're trying to get, they're angry about Stalingrad or whatever the thing might be, but they're starving the people, kids and women and children. They're starving everybody to death on the East Berlin side. He said, we've got a plan. We're going to fly in supplies. It was called the Berlin Airlift. But we're going to fly in supplies into Berlin, you know, into here, and we're going to help these people. But it's a volunteer thing. Many of the captains of the crew said, I'm not doing that. Man, those people, I'm not going to help those German people. I don't care who it is. You know, I'm not going to help. I had no forgiveness at all to them. But this Gale guy, who had saw his best buddy blown out of the sky, he said, we'll do it. You know, my crew will do it. We'll be one of the ones. We'll do it. So they loaded up the planes with the stuff, and he's flying in. He says that first day, and he's coming in over the runway. His heart's broken as he says he's flying. He was funny to me. He was also known as Uncle Wiggly Wings. Wiggly Wings, Uncle Wiggly Wings. He had a habit of coming in the runway. He says he'd tilt his wing. He'd lie as he's coming in. He'd have his wings kind of flapping like they're waving and stuff. But as they went into the runway they were going to go to, they went over these bombed out apartment buildings, and he saw hundreds of kids. Hundreds of kids around all the rubble, all around, just around these apartment buildings. He's coming down with that plane. And it says that he made a circle to go over those apartment buildings to land. As that plane got down closer, all the kids scattered, and they climbed under rubble. And because all they'd ever heard, that noise of those planes, meant bombs of destruction. Bombs of death and hate, right? So they scattered. It broke his heart. He landed his plane and loaded his cargo. He flew back to the base. He got his crew together. They all that night, as they're reloading the plane, they took a bunch of Hershey chocolate bars. And they took old parachutes that were no good, couldn't open. And they began to put on these chocolate bars little parachutes. All kind of chutes they fixed up on these bars. And the next day when they flew in to bring in the supplies, they did the same thing. Went across where all those hundreds of kids were at around the apartment building, flew in. And as they began to come down, kids began to scatter. But this time, he opened up his windows, and they began to throw out all these little parachutes. And it was Hershey bars, Hershey candy bars coming down out of the sky. And the kids began to realize what it was. And before it was all over, he had to make appearances at schools and all kinds of stuff. He became known as the Candy Bomber. The Smithsonian has his statue and his plane and has a big story about him. I just love that. But think about it. Would he have been able to do that if he hadn't understood forgiveness? He had to understood forgiveness, didn't he? And you see, that's what God is saying to me and you. I've forgiven. You need to be forgiven. So L, love. I, influence. F, be ready to be forgiven. And then, the last letter in these four words of this recipe is E. It just stands for eternal. Eternal. This life we're talking about is not fleeting, isn't it? A Christian life. It's not getting shorter. It's not fleeting away. It's eternal. It's never ending. Man. Remember the verse of Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's kind of bad, negative. But, I love that part. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Huh? Look at that gift. And then 1 John 2:25, I love this. And this is the promise that he has promised. I love that. I've made promises I haven't kept.
I wish I, I mean, I know there's been promises I've made and said that didn't happen. But I love this verse. It's saying, hey, there's a promise coming that he, and it's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, that he has promised us. And what is it? It says eternal life. Eternal life. Man, I was laying there this afternoon, kind of going over these, trying to get to put it more, but find the verses good, maybe not stumble through it, you know, in that way. But I got that new phone, I Googled up, and I started listening to artists singing that song, Heaven Sounding Sweeter Every Day. Different artists were singing it, singing that Heaven Sounding Sweeter Every Day. I thought about Brother Royce and Miss Linda and others, you know, Heaven Sounding Sweeter. And in my life, it's sounding sweeter. There's so many more loved ones, but you know, parents and people we met during for years. My preacher, many years, Bevany, is in heaven. And man, it starts sounding sweeter and sweeter every day, doesn't it? And it's just, but it's eternal. It's not fleeting. So I tend to tell you that it's a life worth living, the Christian life. And if you would for me, just look back at that Jude, that little verse, that one little verse. And I want to read it one more last time here. But put these words in your mind as I'm reading it. As we started off, it'll be L, love. Then it'll be popping in, influence, forgiveness, and eternal. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto eternal life. God's recipe for a Christian's life. Preacher.